Welcome to Formation. We're glad you're back with us. I am here with Kara Watts and Shannon Moore, my Formation partners. And we are getting started with a really interesting book. What do you all think about it? I think we can recommend it.
I would highly recommend.
Bible Stories for Grownups, written by Josh Scott. And we, in our introduction in the previous episode, we talked about some very heavy stories that land in children's Bible story books, and that it's time for us to pay attention to the weight of the stories and really how as grownups, it's time for us to talk about these stories and look at the details.
Because we
really
don't often hear them in church.
Right.
And we're stuck often with these memories of pictures in Bible story books or of what our Sunday school teachers told us or our parents that aren't maybe so accurate.
At all. Yeah. And they're such difficult stories.
Yes. Yeah.
They're incredibly.
So Josh kind of says, as we're approaching these stories now with an adult lens, he gives us some things to be mindful of. He encourages us to be curious and to ask questions like, I wonder why that's in there. Why did it happen in that order? Wonder what God meant by that comment. So to deploy our curiosity. Also to look at the story in context to see where it sits and what that might mean to us. To look at the details, to be willing to be surprised. What other instructions did he give us?
Well, one of the things he said is to really sort of keep it in the Old Testament model.
Yes.
That very often, you know, and there's a place for this, to look back on the Old Testament in the light of Jesus, but to also understand how it lies in
for the original audience.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that he encourages is that we take the Bible seriously, but not always literally. And he said he spent a lot of time early in his faith formation trying to figure out, now, did that really happen? Is that really? And he realized that what he missed in trying to settle those questions, many of which cannot be settled, he missed how God would speak to him about the story and through the story. So not to be distracted by what actual location the ark rested on.
Right, and I also like that he invites us to imagine and reimagine ourselves in these stories in creative ways, to really look at the context and understand it for what it is, and to figure out how we are a part of that story, a part of God's story in some creative and unique way, because they're powerful stories, even though they are incredibly difficult.
Yes. So.
I think you're going to find these conversations around going back and looking at these stories again really amazingly impactful. I'm working with a small group, sitting live and going through each of these chapters in this book. And they already two conversations that really have been at a deeper level, a more important level than anything I've experienced in a long, long time. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you have a group of friends you'd like to gather once we've made it through a couple of these chapters. Maybe you want to form your own small group and order the book. But this will be our small group, and we're going to begin with the story of Noah. Now, the way Josh titles the chapter is Preventing the Flood. And let's circle back to that again at the end. But before we talk about how we receive the story as children, let's get into the story a little bit. We're in the sixth chapter of Genesis, if you have your Bible handy. And Kara's going to start reading with verses 5-8. To get us started in the story.
The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord.
When you listen to that now, what do you think about those three verses?
I for me, I love the creation story and imagining how incredible creation is, and to continue to see creation around us and continuing to happen, and to hear, I'm sorry I ever even started this project, essentially, that humanity has hurt God in such a way that God says no more.
It's painful even for God to observe.
Grieved to God's heart.
Yes.
That's a heavy statement. Mm-hmm.
So Josh reminds us that there are ancient flood stories much older than this story. And in the Gilgamesh story, which is 1200 BC, I think that's maybe the oldest human literature. It is a group of gods, small g, who just think people are too noisy. And the gods cannot rest because of all the noisy people. So that would have been a story that the readers or the people who heard this story to begin with would have been familiar with. This feels very different from a bunch of, you know, sort of conceited gods sitting around going, I can't get some rest. You know, that's kind of an annoying story. There's a depth to this and the sorrow that we feel when we hear God's voice. And I think as well, we're 6 chapters into the book and it's already gone down, you know, it's already, and God's not saying here a do-over.
Nope.
No.
God is just, let's stop this now. Because it's not good. I feel bad for the animals who aren't wicked, but God's just going to wipe. God's going to, I think, in the book, that language was, it's reverse creation. God's just going to undo what God has done already.
But then there was Noah.
And then there was Noah, one exception. So was that in the, yes. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So read a little bit more, Carol. Let's move to, you.
Yeah, okay.
You're reading now. Tell us what you're reading. The instructions to Noah from God.
This is still in the 6th chapter, starting at verse 12 and skipping around a little bit. God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. And then talks about building the ark and what the dimensions are. And then at verse 17 says, for my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ark, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring 2 of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind. 2 of every kind shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God's doing in the world. We invite you to join us on Sunday morning for worship, traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11, simple worship in the chapel at 9:30. Visit our 1010 service in Walker Hall. We're a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize that we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on the faith journey. We seek to practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Explore our programs and upcoming events at www.universitychristian.org. Don't forget to stay connected with us on social media. So we just heard God's instructions to Noah, Noah's role in that. Noah did everything just as God commanded. Noah very obedient here. I think scripture says Noah was 600 years old, right? And we're so familiar with the story, but how is it we tell this story to children?
And there's so many toys and decorations.
Cute decorations, very cute decorations.
A pleasant person, and we think about how all those animals got in that boat.
Right, and you know, kids always ask the question, well, wait, you know, how did they clean up the ark? That would have been awful.
Practical questions.
Yes, and we also, oftentimes when we tell the story, we talk about Noah, who's out in his front yard building a giant boat, and what that must have been like. I mean, there's so many elements to the story that might just kind of make you stop and scratch your head, and because it just seems so wild that this is happening, and to be just a person that is not part of Noah's family to watch this happening, and then for that story to unfold and to think, oh my, I just, there's so many directions that we can take this, and I don't know that we always do it well.
And every story I've ever been told about it, children's books, and there always seems to be that element of Noah's neighbors making fun of him. Mm-hmm. It's not here, doesn't say that. But that
so
is embedded in my mind.
Try to enter the story
yes.
and wonder what the neighbors would have thought. And that's, you know, we're being encouraged with our adult lens to also enter into the story and let the story happen to us and ask the questions we would ask. Now, you found in one of your Bible storybooks, someone attempting to make the story not so frightening, right?
I think so. I mean, let God off the hook.
Explain that.
So again, there's a picture in here of the neighbors making fun of Noah as he's building the ark. And the man who wrote this book said, Noah tried to explain, but it was no use. People flocked to him to watch him as he warned them of the flood. And how God had told him to build a place of refuge for those who wanted to be saved. So as if they had the opportunity to make the choice. And then later it says they had been given their warning, but they didn't care. Blinded by sin, self-satisfied and set in their ways, they didn't even want to be saved. But there's nothing in the text about...
No one had an option.
Right.
Yeah.
That they had their opportunity and they... And that everybody was welcome to be on the boat.
Right, if they had chosen that. And that's very Christian language, to be saved.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You can tell he's really connecting
it
to the Christ story, Jesus story.
So, and how old is that book?
I think it's from the 50s.
Okay.
I think that's what... 1953.
So we might, if you have a little one at home, you might go and look and see how the story is being told in that Bible storybook that's on the shelf.
Because it happens. I mean, we didn't read it.
There's not a way, I don't think, this is God's decision. This is God's action. It is everyone goes. And there's no soft way to land with this story, right?
No.
There's not. And, you know, I know you've seen books. My book has a picture of the people pounding on the side of the ark. You know, you just imagine Noah inside. Well, you didn't get in.
One of the books, I can recommend a book about Genesis stories that is just wonderful, written by a rabbi named Mark Gelman, and it is Does God Have a Big Toe? Is the title of the book, and I love this. But one of the stories in that book, written by a rabbi, talks about Noah's friends, and first they're making fun, and then the waters begin to rise, and Noah explains with tears in his eyes that he says, I didn't pick me. I don't know why God picked me, but I'm the person God picked, and I'm very sorry. And they try to sneak onto the boat dressed in a zebra outfit.
That's so funny.
I mean, it's great, but at the end, as the water begins to fall, the story ends. Some say it was rain, others say it was God's tears, which at least lets the story be heavy.
What it is, yeah.
And lets Noah be a player in a plan that Noah doesn't have any power over.
Yeah, I never found the rainbow at the end a very comforting.
Let's read that. Who's got, do you have the?
18 through 21?
Yes, let's go to chapter 8 and look at that.
So Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and every animal, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out of the ark by families. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. Nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done.
So has God changed God's mind at the end about people?
Not necessarily.
Still people saying they're still, evil, they're wicked.
They're still evil there.
From their first breath, they're wicked.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's from, hard
from
at
youth.
The end.
Yeah, from youth. Yeah.
So we feel like we're getting a do-over, actually, a new earth, a time, to do things better, and that is why I think the author of the book talks about preventing the flood.
Right.
What are the arcs that we have today? Mm-hmm. Are we destined to be wicked? Is humanity destined to be wicked? How do we look at the story in the context of our world today? What do you think?
Oh, I mean, it's hard sometimes to watch the news and think that's not the case. I mean, people do horrible things to each other.
Are we called to speak into the evil in the world as people of faith?
I think so.
And to find that peace and justice that helps prevent that violence that happens, mm-hmm. those power struggles and the evil that comes up because of our systems and you know, all the things that go together for that. And so I like one of his lines in here. He talks about, you know, what are the arcs that we can get on to help create peace and create justice in the midst of the violence that's happening all around us.
And in those arcs, we can invite
right.
people to join us.
Right.
Unlike in this story where that wasn't,
yes.
an option. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a few verses later, it talks about the bow and the clouds as a sign of the covenant. I do want to share as I was just obsessed with the end of the world when I was growing up. It just always terrified me, and so this story really scared me because, you know, God could do this, God could do it again, and then we get to the end of the story and, you know, the bow, and I'm never going to do this again. And my Sunday school teacher said, and God will never again destroy the world with a flood. Next time, it'll be fire.
Your Sunday school teacher said that. That's just terrible.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember it word for word.
This explains a lot about you, Shannon. Next time it will be fire. Poor little children.
And I'm sure there were kids in that class that didn't bother them a bit. But, boy, I latched onto it. Yeah.
Well, if you think that this was a challenging story, the next episode is going to be about the story of Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac. We'll stay in Genesis chapter 22. We are so glad that you joined us. We'd love for you to react to this conversation. Tell us what you'd like to say about your own version of Noah and the Ark. You can reach out to us at formation@ucccftw.org. com.com. We'd love to hear from you. We look forward to being with you for another conversation.
Take care.